and our co-worker at MSNBC, our buddy Chris Matthews. Chris, Bernie, and Sid, welcome back.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. Oh, Sid.
Well, it's nice to have
that laugh.
You got to have that
down.
Hey, listen, we were upset last year when we thought you were unceremoniously let go by MSNBC. I have a feeling you're going to take the high road here and say nice things. But just so you know, Chris, me and Bernie, we were pissed off.
Well, fine. I appreciate your friendship. I do. And I just think, you know, you're not supposed to comment on people's appearance at the workplace. I learned my lesson the hard way. I lost my show. End of story, as far as I'm concerned. But
okay.
No, thank you.
Well, but just or just one further comment on it, Chris Matthews. I mean, you know, relatively speaking, what you said was politically incorrect at the time, of course, and now. But, I mean, you were no Harvey Weinstein, and you were no Matt Lauer, that's for damn sure. So do you, and you were replaced by a black woman with a homophobic history. So do you think maybe you might have been treated unfairly by MSNBC?
No, I think I was fine. I think they were – I put them in a situation, let's put it that way. They had to do something. And I just listened to the president of that work, and I heard his arguments and all and situation. I basically – I was sitting with my wife, and I said, I'm retiring. I'm not gonna contest this thing. So,
okay.
I basically made the decision. You gotta call it as you see it. And I saw it, and I made my call. And you know what? I had 2 years to write this book, and this country, my life in politics and history. And I never could have written as good a book if I had been on the air every night. You know, I haven't seen a sundown in 26 years, basically during the week. You know, sundowns are interesting. My wife loves them. I don't drink, but you know it. It's a part of the day I never had before for of my own decision. But, you know, I'm trying to see the brighter side.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you're a sweet guy. And we're not surprised that you did what you did and have acted the way you have since. You're a much better person than me and or Bernie, because we would have gone out yelling and screaming and been fired someplace else by now. But on a serious note, you know, your new book is out now.
I love your attitude. As you say in Philadelphia, I love your attitude.
Well,
attitude.
Well, that's us. That's Bernie and Sid. So, Chris, the new book is out now, but I was just talking while we were on hold waiting for you about the book you wrote about Robert Kennedy, which I still think to this day is one of the best books I've ever read. So I know we're going to talk about your new book right now, but I urge and compel people to read the book you wrote about Robert Kennedy. That was a great book.
Yeah. Well, one of his rules was, as we were just talking, was hang a lantern on your problem. Basically, admit your problem and lead with it. Just say, okay, this is my problem. Let's go on. Let's move on. You know, and I think that was he used to say, yeah, I'm ruthless. Oh, did you hear it? Ruthless. Let's move on.
Yep.
And he tried to get a chuckle out of it, but everybody knew he was ruthless. So. But he was a good ruthless guy. So, you know, he got done. Maybe the Democrats need Bobby Kennedy right now to figure out how to deal with Manchin. You know, if they want to get an extra vote, there must be a way to get it. Deal with it. Stay all night. Stay all weekend. Stay all week until you figure out what this guy wants for West Virginia. You know, all politics is local. What does he want? You know, back when I was working for TIP, I went up to, we were fighting with the Republican over infrastructure, and Bob Michael, the good guy, Republican leader from Illinois, was dumping all over TIP and everything. So I called the chief engineer of Peoria, his hometown. I got a list of all the bridges in Peoria that were below safety standards, where school buses had to go over these rickety bridges that are dangerous. And TIP went on the floor of the house and read the list of the addresses and the names of every one of those bridges that were dangerous in Bob Michael's district.
Wow.
That's how you play politics. You play hardball, you're clean, and you go right at the enemy in his hometown, and you win. We won that vote.
Yeah, listen, Chris Matthews, formerly of Hardball on the Bernie and Sid Show, his book is called, of course, This Country, My Life in Politics and History. It is out now. We're going to talk about that book in a minute, Chris Matthews, This Country. But on Joe Manchin, I mean, just to give you an idea, you know, because nobody is a more keen observer of the scene than Chris Matthews. But, I mean, Joe Manchin comes out. He has a policy difference. He's going to vote against the H.R. 1. He's not going to vote to abolish the filibuster. And what's the response? Instead of arguing with him on substance, they call him a racist. You have this Congressman Mondaire Jones talking about Manchin's op-ed, saying that he might as well entitle the piece, Why I'll Vote to Preserve Jim Crow. I mean, what do you make about of that type of reaction
on
the part of Democrats, for God's sakes?
Well, first of all, West Virginia broke from the Confederacy. Somebody should get their history straight. They were not part of that. They did not support that. The Civil War and slavery and all that, they broke with all that. Now, it doesn't help. You know, Jimmy Carter once said, if you call somebody a racist, you're finished with that person. Once you call them a racist, that's the end of the conversation. You're going to get nothing from that person, least of all a vote. Why should somebody vote for somebody that just called them a racist? So it's just bad politics. I mean, just simple bad manners and everything else, bad human behavior. It doesn't do any good. He has entitled his vote. Suppose that congressman who dumped on him, suppose his district had voted 40% majority for Trump. Where would he be? Let's get it straight. You know, liberals and moderates and regular Democrats may not like the fact that Manchin's from a state that would otherwise elect a Republican. If it weren't for Joe Manchin, everybody on earth knows if Joe Manchin goes down in the next election, he will be replaced by a ruby red Republican pro-Trumper.
Right.
It's West Virginia. What do they expect?
Right.
So they got to negotiate with the guy. It's not his fault he's the 50th vote. They got a very razor-sharp majority of 50 to 50. It can't be sharper than that. And if they built their whole coalition on the idea of getting Joe Manchin's vote, that was a mistake. They got if they're passing all this legislation in their caucus, then saying, all we need now is Joe Manchin, that's stupid. You got to go to Manchin first to figure out, will he do something on infrastructure? West Virginia, remember Bernie, when Bobby Byrd was from West Virginia? And he
sure.
was practically cementing the state with federal projects. Everything was with intelligence facilities. Everything was getting shoved over to West Virginia. They love pork barrel. They love infrastructure. You got to talk to them on their ground. And I think that's what the Democrats got to do. Talk to West Virginia and find out what they want and give it to them. That's what LBJ would have done.
Right.
What do they want?
Stop
what do they need?
Stop the race
racism nonsense. Yes, Chris Matthews here with Bernie and Sid. His new book is out, This Country. Chris is a courageous guest. Oftentimes we'll bring on somebody who went through what Chris went through last year, and they'll say, hey, don't bring that stuff up. And Chris is okay with that. In fact, in his book, This Country, he brings up what happened at MSNBC. But it's really a sweeping memoir of American politics. Chris's great history from a New York Times bestselling author, the host on MSNBC, really everything past World War II. Give us some parts of the book here, Chris Matthews, that's going to really make our listening audience mouths water.
Well, you know, we grew up. I mean, I'm 75. I grew up in the Cold War. I know we hid under Odessa, St. Christopher's. We thought the world was going to end with fighting with the Soviets, the Russians. And I got to go covering the Berlin Wall coming down. I just went over. I didn't even ask my editor's permission, my newspaper. I said, I'm going. And he yelled at me, how come you go without permission? I said, the Berlin Wall is coming down. I'm going. And I talked to a kid on the wall, on the other side of the wall, on the communist side, and he was waiting for the wall at the Brandenburg Gate. And I go up to him, and it's raining out, and I talk to him in my limited German, and I said, what's freedom mean to you? Because the wall's about to come down. And was ist Freiheit, little German. And the guy goes, talking to you.
Huh.
That was my greatest moment.
How about that?
When
that is a great
had
everything
moment. The nuns taught us about the communes
yep.
was true.
Yep. So, listen, what do you make in the book, of course? Chris Matthews is our guest. The book is Our Country, excuse me, This Country, My Life in Politics and History. And Chris Matthews, I believe you worked for Tip O'Neill when he was Speaker of the House. And, of course, the old maxim is that Tip O'Neill would get along with they'd fight during the day, and then they'd have drinks at night. That's the conventional wisdom. But today, the rancor, the discord between Republicans and Democrats, is it more divisive than you've ever seen or than this country has ever seen?
Okay, here's what I think's going on, and it's rotten. When you're a congressman or a senator or whatever, a party chair, you go out and you ask for $10,000 from somebody. And then that person gets to be your, love this word, friend, social friend.
Right.
So people can build their social existence based on giving money to politicians. They'll say, oh, we're friends with the Clintons. Oh, you are? No, you're a contributor to the Clintons. Or you're a contributor to somebody else. But they build their lives around this. They don't want to see the person they bought as their friend hanging out with Republicans. It's as simple as that.
Right.
How can you be friends with those other people? I paid for you. I own you. Why are you hanging out with them? I'm your friend because I paid for your friendship. I'm dead serious. Sid, this is what goes on. People build their social lives around their contributions. These are wealthy people, and they buy the friendship of a politician, and they don't want to look like they're cheating on them by hanging out with Republicans.
Right.
You give me another explanation for this. These guys don't naturally hate each other. They're in the same business. They get the same salaries. They walk up and down the hallways together. You know, they have lunch together. Well, I mean, but they have to look like they hate each other's guts.
I'll give you an example,
so that
though.
Their donors will feel special.
I will give you an example.
I think that's it.
You have, for example, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and these people. I think there is real genuine rancor and hatred between them and certain elements of the Republican Party. And, of course, the Republicans just raised a bunch of money for AOC's abuela, her grandmother, and apparently her roof was falling down in Puerto Rico. They raised it sort of sarcastically, but she turned the money down. In other words, there is some real genuine animosity.
Well, that's different. You're into a real interesting terrain here. I mean, the progressive left are young. They're on the left. They have a real agenda, and they're for real. The Sunrise Movement, they got Ed Markey reelected up in Massachusetts against the Kennedy. That's real, and that's very militant. There's no doubt about it. That's something new. You know, I never even saw that when I was there. That's a brand new part of the Democratic Party. I think the party is moving left. I think Biden is maybe the last moderate for a while. And I don't know how to explain it, except that those people come from poor districts, demographically shifted from the days of Joe Crowley, or Mike Capuano up in Massachusetts. They're going to be running against Carolyn Maloney, right?
Yes,
that's right.
On the east side.
Yep.
But so I think they're going to be trying to pick off these moderate centrist Democrats or regular Democrats. We're going to be seeing this for 20 years now because the appetite is wet. They're ready.
Yep.
And by the way, AOC is a media marvel. She's unbelievable at getting attention and getting her point out. I've never seen anybody as good as her. She knows how to grab the spotlight and use it effectively.
I agree.
And that's something the older crowd isn't that good at. I don't think Joe Crowley was ever a media guy.
No, he wasn't.
Mike Capuano. I never saw Mike Capuano on TV or radio.
Yeah.
But she just says, well, even, by the way, Schumer used to be like this. Remember? Schumer used to be able to stand somewhere on the Capitol grounds and say, I'm here, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Sunday, bring the cameras on. He was good at it.
He was.
And now he quivers at the sight of AOC, who may primary him in 2022.
Yeah, he should. Hey, Chris.
Would you?
I would too, yes.
I might show some backbone.
I don't like what she says. In fact, I can't stand what
she says.
Especially
when it comes to Israel, if I'm Jewish. But that's another thing.
But I can't argue your point, which is she does get to a lot of people and does well with the cameras. This book, This Country, Chris, your new book, available at Amazon, I imagine. Where else?
Everywhere. I mean, Barnes & Noble. I mean, you can get it anytime online. Go do it right now. By the way, Sid, on this Israel thing, here's my question to the other side, to the Arab side. How many inches from the Mediterranean would Israel have to shrink? For you guys to leave it alone?
That's a great question.
How small would it have to get for you just treat it like a regular country, leave it alone as a neighbor?
I can answer you.
I want to hear the answer to that question.
They would say a non-existent
zero.
If they're being honest,
Yeah, but they won't exactly admit. They want it. Oh yeah, some will, like Hamas will, but the average just anti-Israeli Arab. Well, they just give it. What would you give it? The old border of 67, before 67, well, then why are you against it back then?
Well,
why are we against it when it's a much smaller country?
Well, that's what Obama wanted, to go back to that 67.
And why did you start the war in 67 if you wanted to go back to 67?
Right.
Listen, Chris Matthews, we're out of time, but your book is terrific. This Country,
My
Life in Politics and History. And we miss you, Chris Matthews,
we do.
Personally.
Call me when you need me, you want me.
We will. No, we'll call you. You're welcome on this show
please
anytime.
Do it.
All right,
you sound as good as ever, by the way.
Thank you.
God bless you. Take care, okay?
Sid.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Thank you.
Chris Matthews, the book again is This Country. Go buy it today.